I feel inspired tonight to have another teaching message, I guess. You know, sometimes there's teaching and preaching, and sometimes there's teaching and preaching, and maybe it's hard for a preacher not to insert a little bit of preaching in the midst of the teaching, but I feel inspired to have another more teaching message tonight, and desire that the Lord would meet with us and that the enemy would be rebuked in any way that he would try to interfere, and that tonight would be a time that would be edifying and help us make it home. I'd like to start with a verse, one verse in Proverbs, the 14th chapter and the 12th verse. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now, it's a short verse. It's one verse, and maybe you are looking for it in your Bible. So I'm going to read it again because it's central to the little message tonight. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but, however, the end of the way that seems right unto man actually ends in death. That's what this scripture says. And to me, this passage speaks of direction. There's a way. There's a life. There's a path that can be taken that from all appearances looks right, this direction, this way that I'm going. But at the end of it, the ways thereof, that they end in something different than what was at first believed to be true. That it was something that was right. The direction seemed right, but it didn't end right. Back in the year 2020, There was a helicopter in California. A helicopter had a number of people on it, was going somewhere, and no doubt these people got up in the morning and thought it was going to be like generally any other day, like we do. We get up in the morning, and I have an idea that most people here tonight have an expectation that they'll see Sunday. I do. That's all I know. These people got up, they went about their day, and they got on this helicopter, and they took off, and they were headed somewhere, and they ran into clouds. They ran into poor visibility, and then they weren't able to see like they wanted to see, that they needed to see in their minds to fly safely in a way they thought was right. And so the pilot radioed in and said, I am going to increase my altitude. I think maybe it was 4,000 feet, but I'm not positive. And I'm going to try to get out of this cloud cover so I can see. Got off the radio, promptly banked and descended right into the hills and the mountains, and they were all killed. Kobe Bryant was on that helicopter. Maybe some of you have heard of him before. And it appeared that all the instruments were working. If they'd have looked at the instruments, the pilot wouldn't have made that decision. But you see, and he was an experienced pilot, but he did what he thought seemed so right. His intent was right. I don't feel comfortable with what's around me, and so I'm going to get to a place that seems right so that I can continue on my way, and promptly did exactly what was not right. Went in exactly the wrong direction. There is a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof, this scripture says are the ways of death. And so, regardless of how right the decision looked, it was the wrong decision. And it ended in death. And I suspect nobody here tonight, in fact, I believe somebody said it last night, I don't think anybody would raise their hand and say, give me death. I choose death. I'll choose the ways of death. That's the way that I want to go. I don't think probably anybody here would raise their hand and volunteer that. And I don't want the ways of death. I want life. I want a house that stands. I want to meet the Lord in peace. And so tonight, I want to understand how to find and preserve life in the midst of all of the ways that seem right. Does that make sense? So I've written on the board, this is my thought tonight, that direction matters. Direction matters. And the theme that I'm still inspired with for the meeting is that we choose life. I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that thou and thy seed may have life, that you can have life, and that those that follow after you might have life. Choose life. And direction matters, that we might find life. I have what you call, I guess, an allegory that I'd like to read. It only take 1 minute. I timed myself. It's 1 minute. Listen to this allegory. A traveler once set out to find the city of light, a place said to hold peace, wisdom, and eternal joy. He carried with him a compass, gifted by his faithful father, and a lantern to guide his steps through the night. As he journeyed, though, he met others who claimed to know the way. One gave him a map filled with shortcuts. Another offered a more beautiful and faster horse. A third told him the city was a myth and that comfort lay in settling nearby. Tempted by their confidence, the traveler ignored his compass and followed their paths. He wandered through deserts, climbed fruitless mountains, and built temporary shelters. But the city never appeared. Years passed. His lantern dimmed until one night, weary and alone, he sat beneath a tree and finally looked at his compass again. It pointed in a direction he had long abandoned. With nothing left to lose, he followed it. The path was narrow and quiet. No crowds, no shortcuts, but clear. As he walked, the lantern began to glow brighter, and he noticed his heart growing lighter. And one morning, as he faithfully pressed on, he saw it. The city of light, just beyond the hill. The old but faithful compass of his trustworthy father, often viewed by others as simple and outdated, had faithfully led him safely home. I want to make it safely home. Don't you want to make it safely home? Anybody here not want to make it home? To all that are here tonight, what compass are you following? What are you using as your compass? What is a compass? Isn't a compass, in a literal sense, it shows north, south, east, and west. And the purpose of a compass is so that when you don't know the direction that you're going, it will help you know direction. So When you face trees and mountains and darkness and fog and uncertainty and absence of knowledge and those forks in the road where you say, well, I'm not sure which way I'm supposed to go, that's the reason for the compass. It's so that you can pull it out and it will help you understand something that you otherwise would not know. Otherwise, you don't need a compass. You just leave it at home. Well, you do that. Because there's a way that seems right unto man. I mean, most of us have opinions and we feel pretty strongly about a lot of our opinions. And after all, we know what's probably right, right? But if that's the case, we don't need a compass, so we can leave it home. But in the event that you don't know, the compass is simply there to say, this is really north. So that when there is a way that seems right, that there is something that goes beyond just what seems right. There's something that goes beyond just what feels like the right thing to do in every aspect. Because there's times in life where that happens, where it just seems so right. And we follow after it only to find out that we were wrong. I remember years ago, children were small. They were all in the vehicle. We were coming home. We might have even been coming home from church. And we passed where I worked, past the plant that I went every day, 5 days a week, sometimes 6 days a week, probably some sevens in there somewhere. I knew the plant well. We drove by the parking lot. And there were some comments made about the car, a car that was in the parking lot. I knew what was in the parking lot. That's where I worked. I said, well, that's such and such driving along. And somebody in the vehicle said, no, I think that was something else. And I said, no, it was this. No, that's what it was. I saw it. I know. I work there. I go there all the time. It's what it is. Well, I don't think so. I mean, I'm pretty sure I saw. No, that's not what it was. And so, just to prove, just to establish a teaching lesson, teaching moment, coming home from church, I slowed down and turned around and said, we're going to go back. And I'm going to show you. I mean, you're not listening to me. And so I stopped and we turned around and we went back. And sure enough, just as sure as we're sitting here tonight, I was exactly wrong. And they were right. And I never forgot it. And now some 15 or 20 years later, I'm still talking about it. It seemed so right in my mind. I saw it. I saw it. I knew I was so right that I decided to turn around and make a teaching moment out of it. And I did. For me. This world offers so many directions and advice and options as to what's right. And yet, many of them, most of them don't lead to light and life. But tonight, I feel like that it goes farther than that. And you know, it's easy sometimes to say, well, the world, well, out in the world, and I don't want to give any slack to the world in the sense of the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, and all that is in the world is going to pass away, and it isn't going to be there anymore, and we need to be aware of that, but sometimes we can disassociate things that are with us, within us, and put it off on the world, and tonight, my my burden and part of my inspiration comes from the fact that it's not only advice and options and things that seem so right in the world, but it's things that seem so right within me. Those things that I think that are so right, and they come from me. Do you know that getting it right isn't just about sure movements and lots of activity with what just seems right and feels right? But it can look right, especially if we're so convinced that it's right. Well, here, just follow me. I'll show you exactly where you need to go. Come this way. And we bustle around and we know just what's right. Did you have a question? Just come ask me. I'll help you in just a minute. Absolutely. I've worked here for many years. Let me tell you what it is. Getting it right has a whole lot more to do with just movement and active movement and feeling and thinking that everything is so right. It has more to do with movement in the right direction. It has more to do with getting a hold of truth even when it is contrary to what feels right or what we would like it to be. That's more what it's about. And some people say, some people feel liberated when they're able to do whatever it is they want to do. maybe we've all been there. Some people say, they're really making progress. It's never been so good for me. I finally found it. I realize I've been under bondage all this time, and there's these things that, you know, I never did quite understand and never did understand it, still don't understand it. That should be a warning. But now I just feel free and I can make these decisions and go, and it feels right and it feels good, and finally I can live life and go. Go where? According to who? Where does it end? This thing that feels so right. Directionally speaking, what path does it put you on? Did you know that going in the wrong direction but feeling good is still going in the wrong direction? You can feel really good about it, but if you're going in the wrong direction, you're still going in the wrong direction. And I just, you know, I want life. The Lord wants you to have life. The Lord is not looking for these ways to try to make life as difficult as He can for us and see how much sacrifice we can handle to sort of earn our way into heaven. He paid the price. But then He comes and He says, I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. And He didn't just mean after we get over there. He didn't just mean you're going to have to eat whatever food you don't like. Maybe I won't mention any foods that I would rather not eat. It's not, well, you're going to have to eat all of that here in this life and then I'll feed you what you like to eat over there. You're going to have to put in your dues. He paid the price. That's not what it's about. The Lord wants life for us. What direction are you going? Do you know? What is it based on? How do you know what direction you're really going? To understand direction. And again, Lord, help us to know how to teach and preach in a way that it has practical application in our lives, so that you can go out the back door and be able to take something and apply it just right to your life. How do you know you're going in the right direction? If there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death, then what chance do we have if it seems right to us? The Scripture tells us that there's ways to do this. Search your heart. What is it that you're trying to achieve? What is your motive? What is it that you're trying to seek after first? Back to last night's objective. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not just with lip service, but in a way that results in knowing Jesus Christ and growing in Him and reflecting Him and making heaven and help others make heaven too. Sometimes it's good to step back for a minute and look at our plate of life that's only so big. I talk about this often at home. We only have so many hours in a day. I can only plug so many things into my life. It's like going into one of those buffets. I remember we went into one years ago, soon after we were married, and there was lines of food from wall to wall, and I exaggerate not. And you go get your plate, and your plate's this big. And you look at the plate, and you look at all the food, and you say, what's the problem with this? There's something that my plate's only this big, and there's all this food. And you have to make a decision about what you're going to put on your plate in life. You're going to have to make a decision on how you spend your time. You're going to have to make a decision on where you spend your money. You're going to have to make a decision on what you look at with your eyes. You're going to have to, because there's a lot of things to look at, and you can't look at everything. You can't listen to everything that's out there to listen to. You're going to have to make a decision on what you're going to listen to. You're going to have to make decisions on where you go. Because you can't go everywhere, and it doesn't mean that everywhere that's out there to go is sin. But your plate's only so big. And so there's a way that seems right. Well, this isn't sin. Well, this thing over here, the Bible doesn't say anything's wrong with that. That's not sin. There's a way that seems right. And man, I like this, and the church doesn't teach against this, and I don't see anything wrong with it, and I like it, and we get some of that. And before you know it, this way that seems right, you can justify all these things, you have filled up your plate with all of these non-sinful things and left out the most important things in life. No time to build your relationship with the Lord. No still time to listen to the voice of the Holy Spirit that wants to say something to you. No time to go out and reach those that are searching for something that you know something about. There's a way that seems right unto man, but if you follow after it, you can miss the very things that tend to life. There's only one way that leads to life. And it is giving yourself to allowing the word of the Lord to be written on your hearts, which takes time and it takes space. It takes deliberate intent and purpose. It is to be filled with the Holy Spirit that we might be led in the way of truth. And you know what? All of us tonight, we can sit here because most of us here have grown up in church and we've heard this before. Well, the way of life is is the Scripture and the Holy Spirit. And we say, absolutely, that's I'm on board with that. And we can sit back in our bench and I'm covered with that. That's our compass. The compass is the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures. But the Scriptures teach us to search our ways and try our hearts. Lord, there's a way that seems right unto man, but so often it ends in a way that we didn't expect. And so, Lord, help me to take stock of what I'm filling my plate with. Lord, what the path that I'm going down, where does it lead? What is it leaving out? You know, a lot of times we focus so much on what we put on our plate. We can focus so much on how we live our lives, and there's no sin involved with all these things that we're living in our lives, and we justify it, and we have all the reasons why it's okay to do what we're doing and taking into our lives. And sometimes we don't spend enough time taking stock of what we're leaving out of our lives. Does that make sense? And if you leave life out of your life, Jesus is life. If you leave life out of your life and His will, then the way ends in death. And you think you're going in the right direction and you're not. And the Lord never intended for this to be this obstacle course that is really hard to figure out. And I'll cut as many people out as I can because I really don't want too many people to get into heaven. This is only reserved for the ones that really shed a lot of blood and work hard. And that's not it. We're saved by the grace of God, not of ourselves, lest any man should boast. But He is looking for a people that love Him more than anything else. What direction are we going? Can we say, Lord, the plate, the life, the time and the space that is so limited that I have, that I have to make decisions around what I'm going to do with it. Can I say that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that is resulting in me growing in a relationship, and that when other people see my life, they see Jesus Christ reflected? Is my interest in the souls of other people? Is my interest in following as close as I can to the Lord? Or is it just trying to justify the things in my life that they're not sin? See the difference? Have you ever said, oh, this isn't that bad? You ever told yourself that, or your parents, or maybe just yourself? You want to do something, and you say, oh, this isn't that bad. But where does it lead? Where does it take you? Sometimes we're good at this as human beings. We look at somebody else and they have something in their life that we want in our life. And we say, well, they're a Christian. They have a testimony and everybody accepts them. And I want to do that in my life. And so I should be able to do that too. Do you know that direction matters? And that two people can be in the same place in the whole scheme of life. You look and you say, well, this is me. And this is so-and-so. And I want to live a life like so-and-so. Because it seems like the Lord's blessing their lives. And in fact, they're coming to church and people seem like they're accepting them at church. They've been coming for a while and they don't live exactly like maybe some of what I've been taught or some of the things I've had in my life. But it seems like they're blessed and they have a testimony and they're fitting in. And after all, maybe some of these things aren't so important after all, and this, since this is okay, then I would do this. But direction matters. They started over here and they're moving in this direction. They're moving, they're growing in their relationship. They're developing a relationship with Jesus Christ. They're getting closer to Him. And what you're doing is you started over here and you want to go that way. And it's going to be long if we're not careful. It's why the Scripture says it's not wise to compare yourselves among yourselves. This is one of the reasons. Because I don't know. It depends on whether you're coming or whether you're going. And you can get a whole group of people. And they can all be, it seems like, in the same place. The scheme of life. And here's how they're living. And they're all going in different directions. Direction matters. What direction are you going? Well, when you look at the trend, sometimes it's important to do more than just look at a point in time. Pardon? Plot it out. Where were you last year? Where were the year before? Where were you 6 months ago? Where were you a month ago? Where are you trying to get a month from now? There's a way that seems right. Direction matters. Am I drawing closer to the Lord? Am I the fruit of the Spirit? Is that what I'm wanting to be meaningful in my life? What am I starting to take on? Have I put anything off? We're trying to tonight, if by the help of the Lord, practical application of finding where we are directionally. Where am I going? So where are you headed? If the way seems right unto man, but then so often we're deceived by it. The heart is deceitful. Who can know it? We can know it if we want to be honest and humble with ourselves and before God. In the book of Acts, we read about Saul. And we find that Saul was known. He was religiously zealous. Saul was passionate. He was committed. The decisions he was making was religious in nature. So after all, that was good, right? He could no doubt debate with the best of them. Saul could. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He had learned from the best. But there was just one problem. But it was a big problem. He was headed in the wrong direction. He was going in the wrong direction. His furious zeal was not grounded in truth. He believed he was defending God's truth and walking in righteousness and fulfilling religious duties. And in his mind, he was going in the right direction. Listen to me. He believed he was going in the right direction when those other Christians over there were really off base. The simple people over there that didn't understand as much as he understood, they needed to be dealt with. And in fact, it wasn't enough for Saul just to go on his way to be found in favor of God. He felt that it was his duty to actually hurt the people that were Christians. Why? One day on the road to Damascus, a blinding light stopped him. And the Lord said, "What are you doing? Why are you hurting me? Why are you doing this to me? Where are you going?" And Saul came to realize he wasn't following God. He was opposing Him. And he was opposing His truth. And he was opposing His work. And I don't want to do that as a professed Christian. I don't want to find myself in a place where I decide that there's this way that seems right and I head off without the true compass and end up doing harm to the work of the Lord. Doing harm to God's people. The Lord said, why are you persecuting? Who did He say? Persecuting who? Me. Didn't He say that? Anybody here want to persecute God? I don't. So I want to be careful. I want to be careful how I approach religious things. I want to be careful how I approach going out and brazenly instructing people why they're so wrong and I'm so right in my walk with the Lord. I want to have the Lord go with me. That day, Saul came to the place where he realized I'm going in the wrong direction. And what he thought was so righteous, he realized was so unrighteous. And he became Paul, now an humble servant of the Lord, where the Word of God and the Holy Spirit was his priority, and it was about Jesus Christ and not about Paul. We read in the 6th chapter of Luke where many of the disciples went away from Jesus. I wonder where they are tonight. They heard something that was hard. Where did they go? I've often wondered that. Apparently they loved God. They reverenced Him. They were followers, but they heard something that was difficult. And they went away, and Jesus said, will you go away too? I mentioned last night, and I want to come back to it because I feel like it's important. We've got some young people here tonight. So I want to just say it again. Don't turn away from truth just because you don't like the way somebody presented truth. Don't conflate a way that maybe wasn't the best presentation. Don't conflate that with whether the content was truth or not. Be more discerning than that. Be on the watch out for that. Sometimes in the workplace, and I'll use the workplace as an example. Sometimes in the workplace, a boss or a manager may not be very effective at all because of their presentation of their expectations. And their employees are not able to get to the content of what they are saying because they can't get past the presentation. So they throw it out. When everything the boss might be saying is true. I'm not saying that everyone that presents truth presents it in the right way. I'm not saying that there isn't room for improvement on how truth is presented. But what I am saying is, don't allow your sense of justice and your emotion and your feelings to so drive a response in response to what you don't think was the right way to present it. You may think, well, that person's proud, or they're carnal, or they have this in their life, and yet they're telling me to do this. And so I don't want anything to do with any of it. That's like throwing the whole alphabet out, like we said last night, when there's a couple of letters you don't understand. Don't do that. There's a way that seems right unto man. Direction matters. If you go away, where are you going to go? If it was truth presented in the wrong way. Let's say it was truth. Wasn't presented right. You say, that wasn't right. I don't agree with that. Don't have respect for the person. Don't agree with their history. Forget it. Okay, but where are you going to go? Jesus turned to the other disciples and He said, are you going to go away too? And Peter said, well, where are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. And we may all agree with that tonight and say, we agree that Jesus Christ, He's the one that has eternal life. But the question is, where are you at? You may agree with that, but where are you going? And it's important that we give as much of our heart to understanding our spiritual direction as we do our temporal. We spend a lot of time on temporal things of life. Lots of time. I want to know what direction that I'm going. I want to employ a decision-making process by the leadership of the Holy Spirit so that if I'm an heir, I can hear the Spirit's voice talking to me. I want to live my life so that with honesty, I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness in a way that results in growing in my relationship with the Lord and reflecting Him more and more and more as the days go by. And if I find that I'm not doing that, then I need to change direction. That's part of the hope of the gospel, is that it allows for change of direction. That's the hope of the gospel, is that the Lord's not up there just trying to pound on you and say, see, I told you so, and by the way, I'm going to whip you a few times. And His intent is that we choose life, that we find life. And that's what He wants for us, in love. And maybe tonight there's people that here that are questioning their direction, and maybe you haven't been seeking first the kingdom of God in a way that results. Maybe you believe in that verse, but maybe the application of it isn't there completely. And it's taking you down a path that you can justify, but maybe dangerous. Maybe there's someone here tonight that is contemplating a change of direction in your life. And you're thinking, you know, I think maybe I'm going to live a little bit differently. Maybe there's someone here tonight that wants to live for Jesus, but you're finding that you have a battle in life that just almost seems all-consuming. Maybe your decisions are being made mostly around what just seems right as opposed to using a faithful compass. It's always good to pull out the compass. It's always good to take a step back. Be honest with yourself and say, Lord, help me understand what direction I'm going. I want to choose life. I want to be a dependable servant of the Lord. Let's do that tonight. Let's be of the number that's willing to step back from our own way and say, Lord, help open my eyes with the eye salve of the Holy Spirit that I might see and understand, that I might surrender my will and take your will on, that I might go down a path that ends in life. Amen.